share with you something here. Do you know that when you carry a Bible, Satan gets a headache? Did you realize that? Now think about it for a minute. You got a Bible in your hand yet? They're being passed out. And when you open it, Satan collapses. Now stay with me tonight, okay? And when he sees you reading it, he faints. Now think about it. And when he sees you are living what you read, you know what happens? He flees. Pretty powerful. So we're going to go into the Word tonight, and I hope you have your scripture. I've got some things here in that bag over here. And kids that find scriptures, I'm going to be throwing you something. I don't want you to eat it until after our time tonight. But I want to say to you this evening that it's a privilege to speak to you, and I'm going to try to stay within the time frame, and I want you to listen. And, you know, we are a nation of talkers. How many talk shows are there on TV? Name some of the talk show hosts, okay? Who are some of them? Yeah. Who else?
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil. Who else?
Oprah.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. No one is named the Geek of the Week. David Letterman. Okay. All right. Good. Okay, you guys. Now, listen, we also have a lot of social media. You know what I've come to believe? That we need more FaceTime and less Facebook? Be careful what you post on Facebook. It could come back to haunt you. I talked to a guy tonight about it. Also, we need more personal time than we need email. Okay? Also, we have a disease that is spreading through America. You know what it is? There's no vaccination for it yet. It's Texitis. And you know what? Even in the old song, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, there's a new lyric. Did you know that? Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on that farm he had a iPhone. You didn't know that, did you? And there's a, it's amazing, and with a text here and a text there and here, text everywhere, text, okay? Now, as I thought about that, I was reminded that it is estimated that you as a talkative person can talk 100,000 words a day. Taming the tongue. Now I want you to turn before we go there to Matthew 12, first one to find it. Stand. I've got something to throw at you, okay? Chapter 12, you got to be there. Chapter 12, verse 36. Okay, are you there, Stephanie? Okay, all right. Now, if you're willing to read, verse 36 is the verse, and it's on the screen as well. Okay? Listen, look at what the scripture says. Okay, God said it. I believe it. That settles it forever. Every idle word. If we are capable of speaking 100,000 words in a single day, 12,000 sentences, and the Bible says, not Ron Kratzer, the Bible says that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word? Wait a minute. That's a powerful concept. And as I look at the scripture tonight, you know, I want you to turn to James, first one to find, James chapter 3. I'm ready for you, James chapter 3, very important. Yeah, you got to have the chapter. No, you don't stand until you find it. You got to have it. You got James 3? James 3, okay. All right, now let's look at it. James 3, these next 12 verses could be life-changing. Are you with me? Chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Here we are. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Then it says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. But when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. What verse are we on? Can someone tell me? All right, you're listening. Good. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, now get this. Listen, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. You remember this summer in the force? Then it says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But notice this, verse 8, No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Just want to pause here a minute. I had a teenager in the church I pastored. He'd come on Sunday morning. He had this glowing testimony. And during the week, it was incredible for what we would observe. On Sunday, it was this great Christian look. And during the week at school, he would use profanity. So what the Bible is saying here, notice as we move to verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, the tongue is an amazing instrument. When you go to the doctor sometimes for a physical checkup, he'll say, open your mouth. Only time I can stick out my tongue is when I go to a doctor. And then he examines, and then because of what he is able to discern from that examination, he can determine somewhat the health of our body. Now, if that's the case physically, think of what God determines in regards to the health of us spiritually. And so the tongue is an instrument given to us by God. It can either cut or it can heal. It can go both ways in regards to how we deal with this matter of the tongue. And it can caress or it can really hurt badly. A word of anger can wound while a word of kindness can win. Words of hate can kill and words of love can comfort. Look at verses 9 and 10. Look at verse 9. Anybody got it that would read it for me? Verse 9, verse 10. Anybody got it? Read it. Go ahead, Connor. Thank you. It is an amazing thing that out of that same mouth. Now, you know, how many descriptions of the tongue are there in the Bible? I want you to get your Bible ready. Okay, all right, now let's go. First of all, we're going to look at Psalm 5:9. First one to find it. It's going to tell us about a tongue that many times we're guilty of using. Chapter 5, verse 9. Anybody got it? Stand. All right, middle of the Bible, Psalm 5:9. You got it? Anybody? Okay, were we there? Middle of the Bible, chapter 5, verse 9. Okay, all right, here you go. Here you go. Okay, read it for me if you would. Okay. You got it? So see, we have this kind of a tongue. Then we move to another verse in chapter 10, verse 7. First chapter 10, verse 7. Someone got it quick that hasn't done it yet? Chapter 10, verse 7. Anybody got it? Okay, you got it. Go ahead. We have a flattering tongue, but we have a lying tongue, which leads us to a proud tongue. Chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. All right? Quickly? Not hard to find. Okay, go ahead. A flattering tongue, a deceitful tongue, a proud tongue. And now we move to another verse in Proverbs. We're in Proverbs. Psalm, Proverbs, and we're in the 25th chapter. This is a new book. Somebody? Chapter 25, verse 23. Okay, good. Backbiting tongue. The backbiting tongue. Now, you know, you see the tongue, first of all, it's in a wet place and liable to slip any time. Right? So as we think about that tonight, one slogan used during World War II was, a slip of the lip can sink the ship. And there was a picture of a South Pacific battle scene in which Marines were storming the beachhead, and they were dropping everywhere, and one Marine was wounded and bleeding, and there was a picture that bared a two-word slogan. Somebody talked. Now, I can't tell you how many people have been hurt by what someone has said. I remember talking to a guy one day, and he said, for 30 years, I've carried in my heart ill feelings about what someone said to me. And it has tremendous potential for good, but Satan uses it many times for harm. How does he use the tongue for harm? In what way does he use it? Tell me some ways that you see that he uses the tongue for harm, to hurt. What's one way he uses it?
Bullying.
Yeah, good. Bullying, good. That, all right, what else? Yes. What was that?
Rumors.
Yeah, rumors. Boy, can they spread. What else?
Teasing.
Yeah, teasing happens a lot of times. Gossip. And by the way, let's define what we mean by gossip. If you're not part of the problem or the solution, you're gossiping. Let's say it together. If you're not part of the problem or the solution, you are gossiping. You have no business taking what someone else has said and passing it to someone else unless you're part of the problem or the solution.
Boasting.
Yeah, boasting. What a sin that is in regards to the use of the tongue. Good, those are great responses. Anyone else? Those are all great. Okay. Yeah, swearing, using the Lord's name in vain, and we'll be talking about that. So why is it not necessary to just focus on the dangers of the tongue? It has many good uses too. It has tremendous good. What are some of the good uses of the tongue? What are some of the good uses? Yes.
Prayer.
Yeah, prayer. What a powerful thing that is.
Praise.
Praise as well. Good.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. How important that is. Sharing God's message. What great responses tonight in regards to the use of the tongue. Yeah, compliments. How many times we need just that kind of a thing. Yes. Yeah, good, good. Bring death or produce life. So depending on the use of the tongue. Boy, those are great responses. You know, somewhere in our walk with God, we've got to deal with this matter. And it's not easy to deal with. It was interesting to me. I read of a striking example from the 13th century. For some strange reason, Emperor Frederick, ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, wanted to find out man's original language. What was the original language that we spoke? He reasoned that if infants never heard one word, they would speak the language that was natural to them. So he arranged to have some newborn babies cared for by nurses who were instructed to maintain total silence in their presence. That was extremely difficult, but they obeyed. Within several months, you know what happened? Every one of those babies died. Every one of them. How important it is to take time to encourage, to compliment, to lift up, to praise. Because there are those among us who are going through storms and times of downtimes that need that compliment. And how important it is that we take that time. You see, Satan wants to destroy relationships. And he's a master at it in youth groups. He's just a master to destroy our relationships. I was interested to know that more than in verses 4 and 5, let's look at them, if you will. Verse 4 says in this passage, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. You know what happened to the guy that brushed his teeth with gunpowder? He shot off his mouth all day long. You know, and so, you know, in regards to this matter of living in control, I want to share with you some concepts tonight in regards to this. One of them, I need to say to you tonight that, you know, sometimes we'll hear somebody say, I'm hazy on some of the facts, but this is how I heard it. Did you see her leave the party the other night? She was with a boy, not realizing that this boy that she was with was a brother from a distant city. And yet the rumor got around in the youth group that she was flirtatious and was going with this guy that she didn't know anything about. Then there's also, I use strong language. It takes that to get across my point. Oh, yeah? Let's look at Proverbs 15:1. First one to Proverbs 15:1. Let's put this excuse to rest real quick. Proverbs 15:1. Whoever finds that, you got it, Stephanie?
Yes, thank you.
Chapter 15 and verse 1.
Okay, a gentle answer.
You see? So how vital is that? And then there's the person who says, I use, you know, and this is interesting to me. I don't embarrass any people. I just... anybody in front of other people? No, they just stab them in the back. And how many times has that happened? Or get this one. I tell people's weaknesses so we can pray for them. And that becomes a gossip thing. Or I like to flatter people. You know, that's nice, but someone has called this death by sweet talk. And then you have the person who says, well, you know, I didn't say a word, I just looked at him. And one look is worth 1,000 words. And sometimes a look, you know, as one author puts it, have you ever had the deadpan look laid on you? Let me describe it. This look resembles fish on chipped ice in a meat market. It means you do not want to communicate And make no bones about it. You know, I saw a teenager one day walking down the hallway and said hi to them, and it was as if I didn't exist. Deadpan look. I'm not saying that's in this church. And then there's the martyr's mask. Everybody is against me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. And you can always identify them in the youth group because they're usually biting their lower lip and it may be bleeding. You can always mark them. And then what is all this saying to us? In an age of unparalleled technology, we have seen man can tame everything, but the Bible says it can't tame the tongue. Only God can tame the tongue. And so in the final moments of our devotional tonight, I'm going to ask you to look into your heart, and there's an action step that I want you to take, and it's this. Ask yourself daily, what would Jesus say? Let's say it with me. Ask yourself daily, what would Jesus say? Now, if you take me up at my challenge, and you leave this room tonight, and if you forget everything else, just simply that one challenge. And I'll talk to you some on Sunday. I'll say, hey, how'd you get along this week with that question? What would Jesus say? But you say, can the tongue really be tamed? Man can't tame animals. Okay, let's go into the Word now. The first step to keep the tongue under control is keep the heart clean. Let's look at verse 12. Keep the heart clean. Say it with me. Keep the heart clean. Okay, and then in regards to this, you've got it on, yes. Okay, look at verse 12. Here it is. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You got to keep the heart clean. And you do that by three things. You remember in my sermon one Sunday, if you listened, regarding the PRO principle? Anybody remember what P stands for? Pray. Pray. It's like oxygen. If you stop breathing, you faint. If you stop praying, you faint and finally die. The R in the PRO, P-R. Yeah, good. Read the Bible. It becomes the nourishment that fuels our body. And the O, obviously. Obey. You got it. Let's say it together. P, pray. R, read the Word. O, obey. You got it. Good. Which leads me to the second concept of this matter of keeping the tongue under control. Keep the heart clean. Let's say it together. Keep under the Spirit's control. Look at verse 8 of chapter 3. Here it is, verse 8. It says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so you can't allow Satan to begin to master your speech. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to keep you under his control. You see, the mind is sinful. Unless we allow the Holy Spirit to take control, we will be under Satan's control. And then the third thing is, let's say it together. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Those are the special keys of keeping the tongue under control. Let's say them together. First, keep the heart clean. Second, keep under the Spirit's control. And third, keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, you want me to tell you what's going to happen? If that takes place, I'm going to tell you what happens. This is going to happen in this youth group. Number one, gossip and slander is going to decrease. Let's turn to chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 19. First one to find it. Chapter 20, verse 19. Great verse here. Okay, you got it? Verse 19? Read it for us. Okay, you got verse? Okay, thank you. So gossip and slander will be eliminated, basically. The second thing that will happen is Christians will encourage one another. Now, you're going to go to a book that you haven't been to yet, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. All right, not far from James, okay? Right close to James, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Another powerful concept tonight as to what will happen. Okay, you got it again? Read it. None of us will be hardened. Now, that's a powerful concept to encourage one another. Then, you know what else will happen? Loyalty will build trust. Matthew 18, all right? Someone else that hasn't done it yet tonight, all right, that hasn't? Easy book to find, first book in the Bible. Anybody got it? Quick? You got it? Good. Okay, chapter 18, verses 15, and these are important verses, 15 to 17, all right? Good, thank you. Now, what would happen tonight? Let me walk you through this. What would happen when you walked out that door? if you knew that every single person in here would be loyal to you? And if something occurred, you would go to them personally. You wouldn't go to a friend. You wouldn't gossip. You wouldn't pass this on. You would go directly to the friend according to the scripture. Now, stay with me. If this were to happen, I am telling you this, every one of you would be loyal to each other. Now, there's something else here that will be powerful that you may not pick up, and it's in Proverbs 15:30, and it's this concept. Physical health will improve? How can that be? Let's look at chapter 15, verse 30. Someone find that? Chapter 15, verse 30. All right? Great passage here. Okay, you got it again? Go ahead. Good news gives health to the bones. How important it is to do what you have been talking about tonight, to encourage, to compliment, to build each other up, to keep a loyalty between one another, that if somebody offends one other person, you go to that person, not to someone else, you go to them. And then this one is really powerful. The world will more likely believe, and it's in the Gospel of John, the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I want someone who hasn't stood yet to find this one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the 13th chapter, the 35th verse. All right? Someone that hasn't stood? Anybody got it? Chapter, all right? John chapter 13, 35. I'm going to get you guys into a sword drill here so you know the word. When you get to college, like my twin daughters are, you know, you need to know the word so that you're not swayed by the winds of doctrine. Anybody got it? John 13? You got it? Okay. Good job. Here you go. All right. Good. Okay, now, guys, gals, tonight, what I've tried to teach you is a concept that when you walk out that door tonight, you may forget a lot of what I've said, and that's fine. I want you to remember what the word says. And the next time you think about talking about somebody, remember God, through the Holy Spirit, can tame your tongue. And I want to finally say to you tonight, I don't know how many of you kids have been baptized and have come to know the Lord in a personal way. But Colin, I think on the last part of that, did I have the ABCs? Put those up for me. If you want to know Christ as your personal Savior, it's as simple as ABC. I did this in Moscow, Idaho. I had to admit my need. I had to believe on the Lord. And I had to commit my life to Christ. It's as simple as ABC. And if none of you have done that, I challenge you to simply say, I have a need, I confess my sin, I believe on you, Lord, and I commit my life. Now, there's a lot of kids that have never been baptized. Now, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands, but we're going to have a baptismal here coming up in a few weeks. And if you haven't been baptized, we would be delighted to bring you into a baptism class and teach you why you should be baptized. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? When Jesus said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is a command. And if you haven't been baptized, I want you to think about it and pray about it. And if you haven't made a personal commitment to Christ, all you have to do is admit your need, believe on the Lord, commit your life to Christ. Okay, any questions tonight? Any questions over anything we've said? Are you all right? Okay, now, make it a practice to carry the Bible with you. Now, I know we put scriptures up on the screen, but if you'll notice, on Sunday morning, I always have my Bible open. And I would challenge you to bring your Bible. It'll be a major attack on Satan, and as we carry the word, and most of all, carry it in our hearts. Anybody know a memory verse tonight? Anybody have a memory verse? You got one, Delvin? What is it? Above what you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And if you'll hide that word in your heart, let me tell you, the youth group will grow and grow and grow, and you'll be focused on the things that matter to God. Okay? Amen? All right. Thank you. And Josh, or whoever I turned it over to, thank you.